All right, Psalms chapter 5 this evening, Psalms chapter 5 in your Bible. And like I said, it has been a blessing just being in the Lord's house this evening. And I trust you've enjoyed the fellowship thus far and the music. What a blessing that is. And now a time to be able to set aside just a few moments and look through God's Word, hear the message that He has intended for us this evening. And praise the Lord for the opportunity to be able to stand up and preach the Word of God. If you found your place in Psalms chapter 5, if you'd stand this evening, Psalms chapter 5, I just want to read a couple verses for our text, and then we will look at the balance of this passage this evening. But I want to look in verses 11 and 12 this evening, and I want to give you, hope is an encouraging message from this Psalm of David here. The Bible says in verse 11 of Psalms chapter 5, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." And I want you to particularly pay attention to those phrases there and found in verse 11. Rejoice, shout for joy, and be joyful in thee. I want to preach you a message entitled tonight, Rejoice, Shout for Joy, and Be Joyful. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we come before you this evening, and we are thankful for your goodness to us. Thankful to be able to open up your word, Lord, and to hear a message from your word. And I pray that you'd help us as we preach this message tonight, Lord, on being joyful and rejoicing in all that you've done in our lives. Lord, I pray that as there's much to learn from the life of David, Lord, that you'd give me a clear mind tonight and help me to preach what you've spoken to my heart about. Pray for each person that has gathered here tonight, Lord. I pray that we would set aside this time just to hear from you. And Lord, that we would leave different than we came. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. Again, from this passage, we see this thought of rejoicing, shouting for joy, and being joyful. A relatively simple command that's given to us specifically from this passage of Scripture, and I began to think about this thought of rejoicing and what causes us to be joyful as we live this life. You know, it's always interesting the things that cause people to be joyful. I thought about it this way this past weekend on Sunday evening. I think there was a lot of people in this area, at least in our area of the world, that were rejoicing Sunday night because their team went to Denver and beat the Denver Broncos and advanced to the AFC Championship game. And I think a lot of Colts fans were rejoicing Sunday night. And it's very possible that Colts fans may rejoice again this coming Sunday night. And we'll see what happens, and it's either going to leave them rejoicing or being very upset after the game is over on Sunday. And I have no predictions. I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday. But it's interesting what makes people rejoice. I was even thinking about it this way. When I was a child, there were a lot of different things that caused me joy in my life. And I remember in particular one thing that sticks out in my mind. As a young child, I had a set of grandparents that lived in Lima, Ohio, my grandma and grandpa Smith. And each summer, they would do something that was very special for our family. They would have our families get together. They would organize a trip from our family, my parents and my brothers, and our cousins and our aunt and uncle. And they'd take us to Sandusky, Ohio, to Cedar Point. Some of you probably are familiar with Cedar Point. It's a roller coaster park or an amusement park there that has all kinds of roller coasters, and we used to love that place. And I remember as a kid, I would look forward all summer long to that trip. And I'm telling you, the week before that trip, we drove our parents crazy because we were rejoicing, we were excited, we were full of joy because we had that opportunity. I also remember as a kid looking forward to Christmas. Now, I was very systematic in my Christmas preparations. I made sure that my parents had a Christmas wish list from me. I made sure my grandparents, both sets of them, had a Christmas wish list. And I remember my grandma would always send the JCPenney catalog to our house. Anybody remember the JCPenney catalog? I don't even know if they still make it. I just remember in that catalog, it was about that thick. And the beginning, the first several pages were boring. I wanted to have nothing to do with them. And then there was a yellow section in the middle, and I'm not sure what that was about, but I remember in the back was a bunch of pages of toys. And as a kid, I would get my pen, and I'd begin to circle things, and I'd put my initials next to them, and I always categorized it. This is what I really need, this is what I somewhat need, and this is what I'd just like to have. And I wanted to make sure everyone knew exactly what my wish list was, but I remember as a kid, I looked forward to Christmas, and I looked forward with great joy, and around the month of December, I would walk around rejoicing. Those were things as a kid that got me excited. But you know, I thought about it this way. Usually, there was so much buildup to Cedar Point, and we'd rejoice about it, and then it would come, and the day would be over just like that. And I remember thinking, I can't believe it's over. I've got to wait another whole year till this comes. I remember the same thing as a boy at Christmas time, looking forward to opening those presents and, I guess I should say, spending time with family and celebrating the Savior's birth, but I was an immature kid. You don't think about those things too much. Let's just be real honest. And I would get through that time and I would look so forward to it, but it would seem like it would happen and then it would be the day after Christmas and it'd be like, I can't believe it's over. I look forward to this throughout the year, and then all of a sudden it's over. I've got to wait for another year. And you know what? Sometimes I'm afraid that we look at things surrounding us, circumstances, those things that are going on in our lives, and try to find joy. And yet when those things are over, it's like the joy is over as well. Tonight, we're a Wednesday night in the middle of January, in the midst of winter. We've gathered here in this place, and I thought about the things that we've already experienced this week. We've already experienced snow. We've experienced rain. We've experienced freezing rain. We've experienced ice. We've experienced single-digit temperatures. The only thing we haven't experienced this week is this phenomenon they call global warming. And we're still waiting for that to come one of these days, you know, like 70 degrees or something like that in the middle of winter. Wouldn't that be nice? But you know, if we're not careful, it's easy to get a little down, isn't it, this time of year? You look outside, even making it to church is somewhat of a spiritual victory on a Wednesday night. And by the way, it's a wonderful Wednesday night crowd. Praise the Lord that you came out this evening. But you know, you can come in from work, and probably many of you came in from work today, and you ran inside the house because it's so cold outside. And it gets dark this time of year, and you look out the windows. You know it's cold when you look out the windows, and it just looks cold out there. You know? Like, I don't want to go anywhere near outside. And what a blessing to make the choice to come to church on a Wednesday evening. But you know, the truth is, it's easy to get a little down. It's easy to look at our temporary circumstances, and if we're not careful, we can begin to look around us, look at the circumstances that we're presently in, and lose our joy. But I want you to be encouraged tonight, because our joy is not found in our present circumstances. Our joy is not found in what we're currently residing under or what happened last week or if you had a bad day or a good day. Our joy is not found in those things. No, our true joy is found in the Lord. Amen. That's where our joy has to be found. Listen, it's not just experienced on Christmas Day as a kid. It's not just experienced on a sunny day of 73 degrees. And wouldn't that be a blessing right about now? It's not just found in those days. Listen, it's not just found on payday. It's not just found when the Colts win. No, for the Christian, listen, true joy can be found every day of our lives. And it is to be experienced every day. As I began to study this Psalm of David, my eyes immediately fell to this verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. And I began to study this passage, and I read something from the book, The Treasury of David, concerning this passage. And I love this quote that I found in this book, and I want you to listen to this and maybe even jot this down. He said, for the Christian, listen, the joy of the Lord is both a duty and a privilege. The joy of the Lord is both a duty and a privilege. Listen, understand this evening. As you are a Christian living Christian life, it is your duty to proclaim the joy of the Lord to everyone around you. Listen, when other people see your life, they ought to look at you and see something different about your life. It is the joy of the Lord. And listen, that is our duty as we go through this life, proclaiming the joy of the Lord upon our face. And sometimes we need a little extra reminder about that as we go around town doing the various things that we do. But God says, listen, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And as you live this Christian life, the only way you're going to do it successfully is through the joy of the Lord in your life. And it is a duty, but praise the Lord. What a blessed privilege we have to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And to go on a daily basis and realize, listen, I don't care if I have a bad day today, or doesn't really matter if these circumstances are less than ideal. Listen, my joy is not found in these things. My joy is found in the Lord. And so we see this Psalm of David. And what a blessing. We understand this. It is both a duty and a privilege. And I would say specifically, the life of David is a living testimony that the joy of the Lord far exceeds our present circumstances. Specifically, this passage, it's believed that most likely this psalm was written shortly after the events of 2 Samuel chapter 15. In fact, I want you to turn over there and see what it is going on that David begins to pen this passage. 2 Samuel chapter 15. David is not writing this passage sitting on his throne in the palace. No, it's far worse circumstances than you might imagine. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, which was David's son, prepared him chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. He had his entourage go on before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee.' Absalom said, 'Moreover, oh, that I were made a judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.' And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment." The end of verse 6 says, "So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." I want you to keep in mind that the passage that we just read in Psalms chapter 5 about David speaking of rejoicing and shouting for joy and being joyful is just on the heels of his son coming in to his kingdom and stealing the hearts of the men of Israel from the man David. We go on to see there in verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And there came a messenger to David saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom.'" This messenger comes to David and says, "David, what are we going to do? Listen, do you not understand that your kingdom has been overthrown? You're no longer the king here. Absalom is sitting in the kingdom and the men's hearts are after him." The Bible says in verse 14, "And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword.'" This son whom he had trusted, this son whom he had loved, had come into the kingdom and he had stolen the throne. And now we see David is on the run. He's fleeing from the kingdom because, listen, all the hearts of the armies and the men, they're not with David anymore. They're with Absalom. And now David is on the run, and David takes out a pen and begins to pen the passage that we find there in Psalm in chapter 5. And yet, if that wasn't enough, you imagine all the other circumstances that David had found himself in. Many because of his own sin. But you look back on the life of David and you see David now has lost an infant child. What a great grief that would have been. Then his son Amnon goes to his daughter Tamar and commits unthinkable acts against her. Then his son Absalom goes and murders his brother, his other son Amnon, and now he's dealing with his son undercutting him and taking the throne. And those are the circumstances that lead to David writing Psalm chapter 5. And you might look around and you'd say, "Where's the good? David, where's the rejoicing that you're speaking about here? I'm looking at your situation and listen, you're not the king anymore. You've lost loved ones. There's been nothing but grief and heartache, and now you're saying you're going to rejoice? And you're going to shout for joy?" And listen, if you're looking for the joy in the circumstances, you're going to be looking for a while because it's not found there. And yet, I want to look at this prayer tonight of David found in Psalm chapter 5 and find out what his source of joy was. Because as we live this Christian life, no doubt we're going to need to find our joy from the same place. We see there in verse 11, I love this first phrase there, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." Can I say this tonight? First of all, as Christians, we need to rejoice because you can trust him. Rejoice in this life because you can trust the Lord. We see that phrase there, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." And by the way, let me say that's enough to rejoice right there. If we just shut the Bible at this point and said, listen, nothing more than just trusting God, listen, it would be a glory hallelujah. Because we can trust Him, and what a blessing it is to know that and understand that we have a God that we can trust. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 20. This is another Psalm of David. And it gives us a powerful reminder from this passage found in Psalm chapter 20 in verse 7. David is speaking about God's help in his life, and the Bible says there in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen, David is saying, listen, some will trust in their circumstances. Some people, it seems like their life is going really well, and they put a whole lot of trust in the things that are surrounding them, and they find a whole lot of joy in their circumstances. But I'm here to tell you, eventually something's going to fail, and they'll lose their joy if it's found in those circumstances. Some people will look to a bank account, they'll look to finances and say, listen, I've got it made. I've stored up some security in the bank. And if their joy is found in that, eventually that'll fail. Some will look to houses and lands. Some will look to power that's been built within them. He says, listen, some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. Power of their own making. But eventually that too will fail. Listen, if our trust is not found in the Lord our God, if our joy is not found in the Lord our God, those things will let us down. If you're saved tonight, what a blessing, because you've trusted God for your eternity. And what a blessing to understand that God will take us to heaven one of these days. That's a promise. But I want to ask you this question tonight, Christian. I understand you're trusting God for eternity, but are you trusting God for your everyday? Are you trusting God to meet your needs today? And by the way, there is a difference. Listen, there are a lot of Christians that have placed their faith and trust in God. And they know they're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. And yet I've seen a lot of Christians worry and wonder about this circumstance and that circumstance. And where's this going to come from? And how's this need going to be met? And I want you to understand this evening. Listen, if you can trust in Him for eternity, you can trust in Him for today. David was in a position at the writing of this psalm here in Psalm chapter 5. He was in a position where he had to look to God. Listen, David couldn't look to the palace. He couldn't find his trust in the palace. He was no longer the king in the palace. He couldn't look to the men around him to find strength. There wasn't enough of them. He said, surely, listen, if Absalom finds us, he's going to kill us. There's not enough security in these men. David couldn't look to the riches that he once had. Listen, the only place David could look was to God. And yet sometimes I'm fearful that God has to put us in a similar place in our life before we'll trust Him completely. Before we'll forget about the circumstances that are around us and just focus on Him and find our joy and our strength in Him. David speaks to this, certainly this fact, a little bit more in the first three verses of this chapter 5. And he says in verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto Thee will I pray. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee, and will look up. Many commentators believe that David, in writing this passage, was somewhat making a vow to God. Lord, every morning I'm going to start my day in praying to You. But I love the end of verse 3, because I love the heart attitude that David has. He says, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee, and will look up. Someone wrote this thought down and paraphrased it this way by saying, David directed his prayers towards God, and then David expected God to answer those prayers. Prayers were directed to God, and then answers were expected from God. The Bible says, listen, in the morning I will direct my prayers to Thee, and then I'll look up and watch for God to answer those prayers. What a hard attitude David had in realizing, listen, I can rejoice because I can trust in Him. I can bring my petitions before Him, and then I can know that He hears those prayers, and I can expect Him to answer those prayers. Listen, David's complete trust was in God. The prayers were prayed, and then David began to look for answers. I want to ask you this question. Do you have that much trust in God tonight? When you pray your prayers, do you expect God to answer them? Listen, sometimes it takes us by surprise, doesn't it, when God actually answers our prayers? And listen, God says, listen, if you'll bring your petitions and requests before me, I will answer them. I want to remind you what the Bible says in James in chapter 5 and verse 16 about our prayers. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, God does hear our prayers. And we can rejoice because we can trust in Him and we can take our petitions and our requests before Him. As a Christian, here's the other blessing when we bring our requests before God. We know He's going to answer them, but we also know He's going to answer them according to His will and not according to our will. Amen. What a blessing that is. So many times I've tried to direct my prayers to God, hoping that He would answer the way that I wanted Him to answer, only to find out later that His way is best. And David says tonight, listen, you can rejoice because you can trust in Him. I thought about it this way. I don't know what your circumstances are today, but if you aren't rejoicing in God no matter what, you aren't trusting in God. Even if it's a difficult day, listen, if you're not rejoicing in all that God is doing in and through your life, you're not trusting in Him, realizing He has a bigger plan than just what you see around you. And so we see David says, first of all, rejoice, you can trust Him. But secondly, I want you to look again to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 11. He says then, let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Listen, we can shout for joy tonight because He will defend us. Amen. He says, rejoice, you can trust Him. Shout for joy. He's working on your behalf. Amen. I can imagine David right now. I'm just imagining him sitting there and, you know, he's on the run. He's not in the kingdom anymore. The Bible seems to indicate somewhere around 600 men went with him, fled the kingdom there. And I can see them, they're kind of sitting around now and they're looking at David, and the men are probably looking at one another saying, boy, things didn't work out the way David expected them to, did it? Look at David over there. I just feel so bad for David. Over the past several years, he's had so much go wrong in his life. Seems to indicate that his family was there with him, his children, some of them at least, were probably there. And I can imagine those men said, look at those kids. They're looking at their dad and they're feeling bad for him. And I then see David over there. And David has a writing instrument of some sort. And he begins to write some things down. David begins to record a psalm that God has given to him in the midst of his distress. And it's not long before, I believe, on David's face, you might see a smile break out across his face. And his men are looking at each other and they're thinking, what's he have to smile about? And then I can imagine maybe David starts to hum a tune. And God's given to him along with this psalm. And then a few minutes later, David is there and he begins to shout for joy. Amen. And I can look at his men and I can see his men and they're really scratching their heads and they're saying, listen, I know grief does some weird things to people. Boy, David's lost it at this point. And David, I can imagine, is saying, listen, guys, I'm just shouting for joy. I'm just shouting at all that God's doing. And they're probably thinking, listen, are we missing something? Has something happened here? Is there something we don't know about? Listen, does David not realize he's lost the palace? David's lost the kingdom? David's lost Israel? His own son has come in and taken the throne? And yet I can imagine, about the time David starts to shout, he gets to verses 4 down through 6. And he realizes, listen, the Bible says in verse 4, for Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with Thee. The foolish now shall not stand in Thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful men. And I can imagine as David begins to think about the enemies that he has back in the kingdom. And listen, make no mistake about it, David loved his son Absalom. But David did not love the sin that his son was committing. And understand this, that about this time is when David turned his enemies over to God and said, Lord, I can't defend myself, but there's someone in heaven that can. And I want to remind you tonight, listen, Christians, we have an enemy as we live this life. And listen, that enemy launches all out assaults at us all the time. Some of them are very difficult attacks for us to endure. some very painful attacks that we can go through. But I want you to understand this as well this evening. Listen, while it seems sometimes that weeping endures throughout the night, it seems like the morning will never come. Can I remind you of the words found in Psalm 30 and verse 5? That while weeping endures for the night, joy will come in the morning. Can I remind you that the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as David is sitting there and he's thinking about the enemies and those that would even seek to kill him as he lived this life, he's thinking about a God that would defend him. And I want you to understand this evening, listen, while the devil has a lot of power, every bit of his power has been given to him by God, and every bit of his power can be taken away from him by God, and he answers to God no matter what he does in your life. And you can understand this, listen, while your enemy seeks to attack you, you have a God who is defending you. And that ought to be cause for shouting for joy this evening as we understand this thought. He'll defend me. What a blessing that is. But I believe what brought greater joy even to David is when he gets to verse 7 and he pens these words. He says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. You know what David is saying? He's saying, listen, those workers of unrighteousness, they have no place before the throne of God, but I am a believer in God. I'm his child and I can come before him anytime, day or night. Listen, as we view the life that we live, I'm not naive this evening to believe that every day is going to be just an easy day. I'm not standing here before you tonight saying if you have enough faith, you'll never have any problems as you live this life. And yet what I am saying as I stand before you tonight is there's a God in heaven that defends us and helps us and will help us through even the worst circumstances of this life. And listen, on the worst days and the days in which it seems like the enemy is all out attacking us, we can still shout for joy because we have a God who is defending us, a God who's protecting us. We were at a restaurant. It's not been that long ago, a couple months. I can't remember all of the details. I think it was Chick-fil-A, and I believe the two little girls were with us, Aubrey and Carissa. I don't know, remember if the boys were with us. And I remember Carissa came out of the playland that they have there, and she was a little upset. Apparently there was a boy that was a little bit bigger than some of the younger kids that were in that playland that day, and that boy wanted to cause some problems for other people. I don't know if he was having a bad day or what. But he sat at the entrance of the slide and wouldn't let anybody get on the slide. And he said, no, you can't come up here. I remember that was really troubling to Carissa. Listen, she lives a happy life. She thinks that everyone's as happy as she is, that no one ever has any problems, and she couldn't imagine that someone would be mean to her. And I remember she came to us. We talked to her, and we said, you know, Carissa, you can go back in and just, I think Cherie said, use your nice words. Use your nice words and ask him if he'll let you on the slide. A few minutes later, she came out, and I mean, by this time, the tears are flowing. Because she tried her nice words and that didn't work. And I began to think as a dad, you know, inside of me I'm thinking, boy, I'm going to go in there and take care of this kid. I'm thinking, I mean, it's like, hold me back. This is my little princess here and she's having a problem and I'm going to take care of it for her. And every bit of me wanted to walk inside that playland today and say, listen here, pal, get off this slide. You're going to let other kids come in. I don't think that would have set very well. Might have gotten myself arrested or something like that. I probably shouldn't have done that approach. And so as a reasonable dad, I let decorum take over and I said, listen, you know what? If he's not going to let you on the slide, there's not much you can do about it. You got to find something else to do. But I began to think about that. That was my child whom I loved very much. And someone was causing her problems. And I wanted to defend her. Every bit of me wanted to defend her and make a way for her. And I realized it wasn't my place to do that. Leave that up to the parents that obviously weren't doing a good job there. But you know what? In even greater ways, and with love that we can't even comprehend, God looks upon you as his child. He cares so greatly about you. The problems that you go through in this life, the enemy that seeks to attack you, and I can imagine him looking down from heaven upon me and saying, I'll take care of it for you. I'll lead you through this problem. I'm going to defend you. Listen, don't you understand that those that work unrighteousness against you will not stand before me? And one of these days, God has a plan for that enemy. And I thought about that. David is sitting there. He's beginning to write and he's beginning to rejoice. He's beginning to shout, not because he's been exiled from the kingdom, not because there's people there that seek his life, but he's shouting and he's rejoicing. Why? Because God was defending him. And God was taking care of him. I want you to understand this evening, listen, if you go through difficult times, you can still shout for joy because God is defending you. And God is working for you. Listen, rejoice because you can trust Him. Shout for joy because He's defending you. But then I want to finally see the end of verse 11 there. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. He says, Christian, you can be joyful simply because of who He is. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Listen, when you get to know God, first at salvation, remember that feeling that you had when the first time you found out someone loved you as much as God loves you? Sent a son to die on the cross for you. And you accepted Jesus Christ's gift of salvation. You began going down the road of knowing God and learning of Him. As you get into your Bible and you hear the preaching of God's Word, listen, you learn so much about God. And what a blessing it is to learn everything about God. Be able to hear the preaching of His Word and to have His Word prick your heart. And the idea, listen, to know God, and I'm talking about really knowing Him and walking with Him. When you begin to learn of all He is, you can't help but love Him. To know Him is to love Him. And to walk with Him on a daily basis. And yet we see David's final admonition in this psalm is to be joyful in God simply because of who He is. Understand, no matter what else you go through in this life, no matter what your circumstances are in this life, understand that you have a God that loves you and you're His child. Not only can you trust Him and go before Him, but you have a God that loves you and cares for you. I thought about this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen, if you can't be joyful when you consider something like that verse there, there's really no hope for joy in your Christian life. And yet He says to us, be joyful. Let all those that love the name of God be joyful. And then He goes on in verse 12 and reiterates this thought. He says, for Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Listen, those that have a daily relationship with God, a daily walk with Him, can experience His blessings as they live this life and can experience His protection. And yet again, we see David there. He's exiled from the kingdom. He has enemies back in Israel. If he goes back there at this time on his own power, he's probably going to be killed. And yet David begins to pen a passage in which he tells us, listen, as Christians, we need to rejoice. We need to shout for joy, and we need to be joyful. And listen, again, it may be some speculation on my part, but I'm guessing that some of those men that are around him are watching this scene play out and say, why? Why can he act like that? What's the source of his joy? What's the source of his strength? And yet, what a blessing, because he's not looking to his circumstances. He's not looking to the fact that he's no longer king. No, he's looking to God, whom he trusts completely, to hear his prayers and to protect him from those that would seek to do him harm. I want to ask you a few questions tonight. What if you got a phone call tomorrow from the doctor? The doctor said, listen, we've run some tests and it's not good news. You don't have much time to live. You need to set your affairs in order and make plans to pass away quickly. Would you still be able to rejoice in those circumstances? Would you still be able to rejoice in your God? What if you went to work tomorrow morning and the boss called you into the office and said, I'm sorry, we've had to make some cuts around here, and your position is one that we've had to cut. You're no longer employed here. Would you still find reason to rejoice? What if you got the phone call that no one wants to get? A loved one has passed away suddenly. Would you still find the ability to rejoice? And I'm here to tell you, listen, if you'll have the perspective that David had, it's not in these circumstances, that I can still rejoice because I can trust Him. I can come before Him anytime, day or night. Not only can I rejoice, but I can shout for joy because I know He's defending and protecting me. He's taking care of me. And I can be joyful because of who He is. And so on a Wednesday night in the middle of January, when sometimes it's just hard to even get up and get going, may we realize that there is so much in the Christian life to be joyful about. David sitting there in far worse circumstances than probably any of us will ever experience. And these are his encouraging words to us in verse 11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. As a Christian tonight, are you rejoicing? Are you shouting for joy? Are you living joyfully? Listen, it's a command. It's something that we ought to do, and it may be tonight that we need to come to this altar and realize, Lord, I've not had the joy of the Lord in my life. I've been looking at this circumstance or this problem. I've been dealing with this. And listen, life is difficult. There's no mistake about that. But God is great. And we can rejoice. And we can shout for joy. And we can live joyfully. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. I trust that the message has been made very plain this evening. We won't have a musical invitation oftentimes on Wednesday night. We don't. But the altar is open. Maybe you just need to come back here and get the joy of the Lord back in your life. Maybe there's just been some difficulties that you've been dealing with. Just some problems, and the enemy has reared his ugly head in your life. And yet God says, listen, you can rejoice because I am who I say I am. There's great hope in Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is for us to understand. Sometimes it's just a matter of feeling a little down in our lives. And yet we need the joy of the Lord renewed in our lives. He says, just come to me. Look to me. Don't look to your circumstances. Don't look to your problems. Look to me. I'll give you the joy that you need. The altar's open if anybody else needs to use it tonight. Lord, we come before you and we are thankful for your blessings. We're thankful on a Wednesday night that we can study the character and the life of David, and particularly the circumstances that he found himself in. Lord, exiled from the kingdom. And yet, in the midst of those incredible difficulties, he's able to pen a wonderful passage of comfort and hope that we would read so many years later and be able to find encouragement and blessing it on this night. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to rejoice. Help us to shout for joy. Help us to live joyfully, Lord, because of who you are and what you've done in our lives. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.